supply all my needs. You are more than enough, so much more than enough. You are more than enough for me. It's page 686 if you don't know it. We have a God that's more than enough. Amen. He can do abundantly above what we can think or ask. Turn with me to page 79. Just want the presence of the Lord to have preeminence this evening. Amen. Whatever you have need of, He's more than enough. And He's already taken care of that need that you have. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. My rest is complete while I sit at your feet, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Shall we stand and sing, worship Him?
Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit, sweep over my
page 80, or on the same sheet, page 83. I found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. I read those lines and I just think, you know, we've got maybe 100, 125 or so here tonight. But if you was in a room and there was 10,000, and Jesus came in the room, he's the only one I'd want to concentrate on. And if he went into a room with another 10,000 and he came in that room, he'd still be the best one in there. He's in this room this evening. He promised he would be here. I just want to worship him. I want to forget about who's leading songs. I want to forget about who's around me, who's in front of me. Forget about who's preaching. Forget about everything that happened so far today. And I just want to worship the Lord Jesus Christ because he's worthy. He is the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Oh, the lily of the valley, in him alone I see. All I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. Well, in sorrow he's my comfort. In trouble he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to roll. Hallelujah, he's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Oh, he all my grief has taken and all my sorrows borne. In temptation he's my strong and mighty tower. I have all for him forsaken and all my idols torn from my heart, and now he keeps me by his tower. Though all the world forsake me and Satan tempt me sore, through Jesus I shall safely reach the goal. Hallelujah, he's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He'll never, never leave me, nor yet forsake me here, while I live by faith and do his blessed will. Oh, a wall of fire about me, I've nothing now to fear. With his manna, he my hungry soul shall feed. In sweeping up to glory, we'll see his blessed face, where rivers of delight shall ever roll. Hallelujah. Fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see. All I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. Shake someone's hand and welcome. Comfort in trouble, he's my stay. He tells me every care on him to hold. Hallelujah, he's the lily of the valley, the bright. Hallelujah. I'm glad he's here tonight. All right. Our announcements this evening are that we're having Labor Day meetings. Brother Jack Duff will be ministering for our Labor Day meetings. This will include our August Youth Bible Study tomorrow evening here at the church from 7:30 to 9:30 for the youth ages 10 to 30, never married. Brother Jack Duff will be preaching a special service Friday evening, August the 30th at 7:30. And both of our services on Sunday, September the 1st. And there will be a special singing service held here at the church on Saturday evening, August the 31st, starting at 7:30 p.m. Our pitch-in meal will be at Tunnel Hill Christian Church Gym on Saturday the 31st of August. We will have the gym from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. and food will be served at noon. The church will be providing tea, lemonade, and water along with smoked bone-in chicken, not fried. The church has provided disposable pans and lids, which are available in the church basement. Please pick these up for your side and or dessert. This will make cleanup much easier, which will help with preparation for the Saturday night song service. Did that sound anything like Brother Furman? I miss him. We have a prayer request this evening that you would remember Sister Patty Ard. Her surgery went well today, but please remember her in prayer for a quick and complete recovery. Also, we found out about 1 o'clock this afternoon that I know many of you have heard me mention Brother and Sister Metcalf. He pastored the church in Sellersburg for many years. He went on to glory several years ago, and Sister Metcalf passed away Saturday, and the viewing was this afternoon, and then the service is 11 o'clock tomorrow. But she was 93 years old, and a wonderful lady. Really loved her. They were always an encouragement to Sister Jeannie and I. So just remember the Metcalf family tonight in prayer. As we go to the Lord in prayer, I'm going to ask Brother Lee, would you come please? Take us to the Lord in prayer. Just before he comes, Sister Anna Gurgley, did I see her come in? You have a special for us tonight. Just be prepared after the prayer.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to say thank you for, Lord, helping us, Lord Jesus, today. Lord, just to set aside, Lord, a time to come and worship you tonight. Father, it means so much to us, Lord, to be able to come and, Lord, worship you in spirit and truth. God, many people out there that don't know the desire, don't have that desire in their heart to come and worship you, Lord. Father, it's the whole thing in our life, Father, is to lift you up and to praise you. God, help us, Lord, as Brother Hoover has said tonight. Forget about everything, Lord, and just lift you up above all things. Lord, we pray that you would meet these needs, Lord, tonight. We lift them up to you, and God, we just pray that you would just have your way in the service tonight as well. Save the lost, Lord. Heal the sick. Lord, a burden, Lord, for those in Africa, Lord Jesus. Lord, a brother that's lost his daughter there. Father, my heart just goes out to him, Lord, how he must have felt. God, we pray that you'll comfort that family. Comfort the Metcalf family as well, Lord. Father, draw us closer to you tonight. Bless Brother Nathan, Lord. Whatever he might want to do, Lord, let it be a pleasing to you. Grant it, Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated. Our first special tonight, Sister Stephanie's going to sing for us.
This is an oldie but a goodie by request.
The crowd was great, but she knew she had to.
answer's on the way.
Amen.
Sister Anna.
My boat of life sails on a troubled sea. Ever there's a wind in my sail, but I have a friend who watches over me. When the breeze turns into a gale,
come tonight. There is a land I'm longing for. Let's sing that together. There is
a land.
this way. Oh, I have seen some great times. Yes, you could say that I've been around, but I found no place to settle down. Oh, there is a land. Let me sing this verse tonight. Oh, why am I so homesick for just not myself down here anymore? Oh, I keep looking for that open door that say farewell to this old world goodbye. We're going to that land. Oh, there is a land that I'm homesick for, though I've never seen it. Looking forward to it. Amen. God bless you richly. Good to be in church tonight on Wednesday night. Looking forward to our services over the weekend with Brother Jack and the believers from West Palm Beach there. I think he's bringing about 25 with him, it sounds like. I thought it was 15, and then I thought it was 20, and now he's saying 25. So we'll find a place to put him somewhere. I think there's going to be a few families out of town, so we appreciate them giving up their seats for these West Palm Beach believers. And so we're going to be looking forward to that, a good time in the Lord, and just encourage you to come and be a part of that with us and part of the fellowship at the pitch-in meal there on Saturday. We always have a good time. And so the Lord had impressed something on my heart a while back. It's been, I guess, a year or so ago that I told the minister brothers. A lot of times they wait on me to be out of town or to just reach out to them and ask them, you know, hey, have you got something on your heart? And I told them a year or so ago, I said, if you ever have anything really burning on your heart, don't wait on me. Reach out and let me know, and we'll try to fit you in sometime. And none of them have ever done that. And about a week or two ago, Brother Hoover reached out to me and said, Brother Nathan, I really got something burning on my heart that I'd like to share. And so I said, well, praise the Lord. I was trying to figure out what to do for a certain service in a week or so here. And I said, that'll work out just perfect. And a few days later, Brother Layton called me and said, Brother Nathan, I got something really burning on my heart. Or no, I think he told me in the office last Wednesday night. Said, I got that I'd like to share. So I said, well, why don't you take next Wednesday night? That was kind of what he had on his heart, and felt like the Lord led me the same way. So we're going to invite him to come at this time, and certainly appreciate Brother Layton and the Layton family. They've been with us a long time. Started with us back at the storefront. I appreciate how he stood beside me as a deacon, an associate minister, as a friend and a brother, and we certainly appreciate him and his ministry and his family. So we're just going to invite him at this time, Brother Layton. I think he's got a song that he's going to share with us, so I won't bring him up to a song, but God bless you. And he, if you notice, maybe he's been shaking your hand with his left hand. It's not because he doesn't want to give you the right hand to fellowship, but he jammed his right hand recently, and some of you give good, healthy handshakes, and it hurts him a little bit right now. So it's an occupational hazard for a deacon, I guess, but Lord willing, the Lord's going to touch him and heal him so that he won't have that problem. But God bless you, Brother Layton. Certainly appreciate you, brother. God bless you. Sorry.
Oh, my. I don't deserve that, but thank you. Okay, she didn't wait for me to call her. Brenda, why don't you come on up to the piano? Wow. Well, after the rest of the specials, I don't know. Here about 3 weeks ago, I was up at Brother Morris's and spoke for him up in Sellersburg, by the way. And I had a song I wanted to sing with the sermon there. And it's actually, I'm going to do the repeat. I'm going to do the same. Well, it probably won't be the same sermon, but it's the same sermon. Okay, now that you've got that straight. But this song went along with this, with the sermon that the Lord had laid on my heart. And I think it was Sunday morning. I don't know what it was. I was sitting over there. Nathan, Brother Bryant, said something. It really stirred me up. And the Lord impressed upon me to ask him about speaking tonight. So we both prayed about it. And I believe it's the Lord's will. I trust whatever it is that he's going to lead me to say to you, that it will bless your heart and encourage you. As I say most every time I get in the pulpit, if I just help one of you, it's worthwhile. If it helps all of you, that's better. But the main thing is that Jesus Christ gets the glory and he be lifted up. So tonight, if the Lord will help us, we actually made a trip all the way over here from the house, a whole 7 miles, and practiced this song. It was just Brenda and I, and I think we did it, about 3 times before I got it straight again. But so I've only got one shot tonight, so let's hope we make it right.
It's just amazing what prayer can do. It's moved mountains, parted rivers, brought the dead to life again. I've called upon an old prayer warrior a time or two. If you're in trouble, amazing what prayer can do. I see a mama and a baby. He's fought for life the whole night through. Thank you.
My subject tonight is prayer, or if you want to say it a little different, the importance of prayer. I want to talk to you about prayer tonight. So if you want to turn into 2 Kings, the 20th chapter, starting with the first verse, we'll read 1 through 6, and you can stand with me if you would while we read that. 2 Kings 20, 1 through 6, and then I want to go to James 5 and the 16th verse. I'd walked out one morning on the back porch and sat down on the glider and was having some coffee and looking at the trees and listening to the birds and thinking what a mighty God that we have and how great He is. And, you know, the world can look at it and I don't know what they see. But when I look out and see the grass and the different trees and even the weeds and the birds and the squirrels and different things running through the yard at different times and the rabbits and I think of what an amazing God. And if I go out and sit at night, and when the lights aren't too bright around, I like to look up into the stars and there again, think of how amazing God is. When I was in the service, one of my greatest thrills was for me trying to live a Christian life with 6,000 other sinners, 6,000 sinners on board, was to walk out in the middle of the night where it's out and you're in the middle of the ocean and there's no lights except for a few that's on the boat. But you talk about seeing stars. And just praise God for what He did. And I think of the scripture when He said he numbered all the stars, He made all the stars, and He calls every one of them by name. Think of it. Amen. And I think Andrew and I were talking at the table earlier and I said, and the stars that we see, we can't even see all of them. Because our view is limited from wherever we're at on this curved earth. You know, you've got to either be at the top or the bottom or all around it. And even then, what about as far as you can see, what about way on beyond that? And yet God knows every one of those stars, and He calls every one of them by name. I can't even imagine that many names. But God has it. So He's just an amazing God. But tonight, changing back to the subject here, I want to speak to you a bit on prayer. So let's read on 2 Kings, the 20th chapter, the first 6 verses. In those days, Hezekiah was sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him, and he said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember me now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and I have done that which was good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass, afore as Isaiah was gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, and I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee, And on the third day thou shalt go up into the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee in this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And then in James 5, in the 16th verse, just one verse there, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Shall we pray? Father, we could close the book, as I've heard your servant say so many times, and go home, for we have read your word and it's eternal. And Father, I can say something here and make a mistake tonight, although I ask that you guard my words and not allow me to do that. But Father, whatever it is that you have for me to say, you take control. Help me to yield myself to you as I've asked you throughout the day, that you would get the glory from this and that your children would be encouraged. Now, Lord, we ask all of this and we do it for your glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Hezekiah was a sick man, as we know, and I'm not going to go to the point of 15 years and what happened with him during that 15, the things that Brother Branham said, but what I want to concentrate on to start with is Hezekiah got the word from the Lord that you're going to die. You're not going to live. That was thus saith the Lord from a prophet of God. But Hezekiah, being a righteous man, one that feared God and loved God and served God, he turned his face to the wall and he prayed. And he prayed. I don't know how long he prayed. I don't know how far it was up in the building that the prophet had to go to his room to see him. But before he got out of the grounds, before he got out into the middle court, the Lord had already spoke to him and said, go back and tell him he's not going to die, but he's going to raise up and I'll give him 15 years. My point is this. Hezekiah was told he's going to die. Now, if a doctor came to you and was to tell you, Brother Trevor, or he'd say, Mr. Eamon, we ran all these tests and we have determined that within the next 2 or 3 months, you're not going to be here anymore. You've got this disease or you've got this sickness and you're going to die. Now, I wonder how earnestly that Brother Trevor would pray. Think about it. Put your own name in there. If you got the news today that you were going to die tomorrow, or that you were going to die in 2 or 3 weeks, or even in 2 months, what would you think about it? Who would you go to? The doctor says, there's nothing I can do. I don't have a cure for what you've got. There's nothing known to man that can help you. It's so far along that you have got no choice. You're going to die. Well, I would imagine that when we went to prayer, it wouldn't be one of these little wimpy prayers that so many pray. Oh, Lord, you know, I'm not feeling good. And, I've got a headache. And your word says if I'd come and ask you, you know, anything I say in your name, Lord, you said you'd heal me. So, Lord, you know, you heal me. Amen. And up and off you go. It's not going to be that kind of prayer. But it's going to be one that James spoke of. It's going to be an effectual, fervent prayer. You say, oh, but instead of a righteous man. Well, if you're a Christian, then you're righteous. If you've got the Holy Ghost, you're righteous. So what are you going to do? Turn your face to the wall or to the floor or wherever you want to look at and cry out to God with everything that you've got and ask him, Lord God, there is no hope. Without you, I'm going to die. But Lord, I want to live. Lord, I've got a family that I want to see grow up. Or Lord, I've got a church that I've got to take care of. Or Lord, I'm a minister. Or Lord, I'm a deacon. Or Lord, I'm a Sunday school teacher. You've got to have a reason. How about, Lord, I'm one of your children, and you know I'm coming to you because you said you would heal me. And Lord, I believe it. And if you'll heal me, Lord, I'll continue to serve you all the days of my life. See, but it's got to be a real fervent prayer. That's what James said. Now, let me read you a quote from Believing God in 1952. Brother Branham says this, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Right. Oh, if only you knew that in your hand, now listen to it, if only you knew that in your hand Christ gave us the authority with his name by being Christians, the most powerful weapon that the world has ever known. Right. Think of it, people. the most powerful weapon that the world has ever known. Prayer even changes everything. Right. It'll change the mind of God, and it did do it. After death was pronounced to a man, he prayed, and God told the prophet, go back and tell him that I heard him. See, prayer. Hold on. Excuse me. Boo, devil. All right. I've been fine all day, and I get up here, now he wants to try and make me choke up. All right. Listen, let me read you something here I found today. The effectual fervent prayer. What is it? This is a phrase that originates in the King James Version. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. James 5:16. Two words, effectual and fervent, are actually translated from a single Greek word. And it's a cousin to our word for energy. And that word is energio. It conveys the idea of energizing. Similar to an electrical current that brings energy to a circuit. When it's applied to this passage, it suggests a type of prayer is a passionate, heartfelt, heated, persistent, and so forth. It says, the Amplified Bible renders it in another way that is especially illuminating, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Wow. To whom? To God's children. Oh, he says, this kind of prayer is quite opposite of the lethargic, repetitious, or superficial type. And while passionate, it's not merely whipping up emotion or generating exciting sounds or words, but expresses an intense, sincere confidence in God. This might also be described as praying radically. Right. With everything you got. You know, there's some churches, if you pray like some of us do, they say, oh, you feel right at home. Right. But others, they might want to kick you out the door because you're disturbing the pastor, you're disturbing the service. But you pray radically with everything you've got, with all your heart, along the lines of what Jeremiah wrote, you will seek me and find me when you search for me. Well, just when you're not feeling too good, Brother Jerry. Or when you've got a headache, Cheryl. Or maybe when you stub your toe there, Brother Caleb. No. He said, when you'll find me when you search for me, what? With all your heart. And the late British Methodist minister, William Booth, who's he? The guy that started the Salvation Army. About 36 years old when he started it. He said, once said, you must pray with your might. That does not mean saying your prayers or sitting, gazing about the church with your eyes wide open while somebody else prays them for you. It means fervent, effectual, untiring, wrestling with God. It means that grappling with omnipotence. That clinging to him, following him about, so to speak, day and night. How? As the widow did with that unjust judge. She bothered him until he had to give her an answer. Now, we're not calling God unjust. That's not it. But if you want something from God, there's times when you can ask it and he'll answer it right away. There's other times he's going to try your faith. He's going to try your patience. He's going to wait and see what are you going to do about it. You've asked, so what do you do? Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. To him that knocketh. And Brother Branham said, that's not. Okay, I'm done, Brother Nathan. He said, to him that knocketh. Lord, I got a need. Lord, help me. Lord, I'm still sick. Lord, I'm hurting. Lord, my children need salvation. Lord, our church needs help. Lord, Lord. Lord, until the Lord says, you know what? If I don't hurry up and answer this fellow's prayer, I'm not going to get any peace at all. Oh, I know that's just a story. Yeah, I know God don't. But, you know, just go with me on this. We're going to be dramatizing a little bit. Oh, come on. Come on, God, what are you doing? Are you asleep? Wake up. I've been praying for 3 months for my child. How come they're not serving you? Just keep asking, son. I'll get there. What was it? Daniel had to pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. And what, when he finally got there, he said, where was you at, Gabriel?
I've been praying for, what, 3 weeks, for 21 days, and you hadn't got here. Oh, I was on the way, Daniel. I have the answer. I was on the way, but that old enemy, he hindered me. That's what happens to us. Oh, we get down and we pray and we ask God and we get up and we walk off. And then what is it? That enemy comes and says, there ain't no way you're going to get that answer. Rebecca, you ain't no way you're going to get that answer. Who do you think you are? That's the devil. He's going to hinder your faith. He's going to hinder your belief. He wants to hinder you from praying. But God said to pray. I believe, if I remember right, Brother Branham said prayer was the one thing that we couldn't do too much of. But it's the one thing most of us don't do enough of. So what do you say, Brother Layton, what are you doing? Listen, I told Brother Nathan, I said, look, I said, I believe if we're going to have I want a revival in this church. I said, I want a revival in this church. All right, we got started Friday night. Why not start it tonight? Prayer. I'll just put a little flick on the flame and we'll just a little bit on the tinder and we'll get it going. We'll let Brother Jack and God come in and blow that flame and get it bigger Friday night and Sunday morning and Sunday night. We can have a revival in this church. A revival is not bringing in more members. A revival is reviving those of you that sit on these bench pews like a bunch of toads on a log. The Spirit of God moves and you won't move. The Spirit of God moves and you won't raise your hands. And don't tell me you do, because I sit up here and I can see who does and who don't. And I ain't calling names. That ain't even my notes. I don't know where that came from. I'm not trying to pick on anybody. I'm trying to wake you up. Revival. Revival is not sleeping in church. Revival is not coming in and the songs are singing. You're just standing there going, oh, yeah, that was a good song. Well, where were you? Why weren't you singing? Why weren't you raising your hands? Why weren't you clapping your hands? Why weren't you shouting? Oh, I'm not saying everybody has to shout. I shout once in a while. I think I've shouted twice in 6.5 years. But if God says shout, I'll shout. I don't speak in tongues very often, but when I do, it's just me and Him. And it's usually when I'm standing over here by myself and nobody knows it but me, and I go, whoa, who? Oh, that was me. So what is it? It's entering into the Spirit. I want a revival for this church. That's what I told Brother Nathan. I want to see a revival break out and everybody in this church receive the Holy Ghost. If you ain't got it, you have absolutely no excuse not to have it. And if you have got it, you have no excuse not to be refilled. And if you haven't repented, you don't have an excuse not to be repented. If you haven't been baptized, there is no excuse not to be baptized. You say, oh, but God won't. Oh, yes, God will. If God's calling, He's still filling. And if He's still filling, He's still using. And if He's still using, He's still going to be people saved. We don't have to bring in 200 more people. We need to get you people that are sitting here that don't have the Holy Ghost. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Who was it that Brother Branham said that one of the requirements in his church was that he had every member in his congregation had to have the Holy Ghost? Do you remember which one it was? Which I can't remember. Okay, thank you. I'm glad somebody's got a better memory than I do. But anyway, that's what I want for this church. I want everybody from the youngest one that's able to get it to the oldest one that ought to have it. I want them to have the Holy Ghost. I want to see a revival break out. But let me tell you what, friends, that's the idea of this sermon. How are you going to get a revival? Pray. Oh, some say, oh, well, Brother Layton, the revival's over. Don't you know that? When? I'd like to know where it's over. I'd like to say, oh, well, you know, there's no more gifts, Brother Bryant. Oh, no, we don't, you know, we don't need teaching. We don't need not teaching. We don't need, some of them say that too. We don't need speaking in tongues, and we don't need prophecy, and we don't need this, and we don't need it. But let them get sick and see how fast they call for somebody. Won't you come and pray for me? I thought you didn't want the gifts. That's right. But praying for people is one of the gifts. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. Oh, but listen, Brother Bram said, hey, listen, I've got a quote. Let me go to it. Oh, here we are. 56. Father, the hour has come. Said, these signs shall follow them that believe. I've seen them right here, haven't you? Ask Olivia. Ask Brother Weber back there when he broke his foot 6.5 years ago or so, going on 7, coming over to the storefront, prayed. We prayed for him. He walked in on his crutch, walked out carrying his crutches and didn't limp or nothing else. He was healed, a miracle. Ask the pastor whenever he knows, believe. We went up, read the scripture, and God prayed for him, and God stopped it. Ask Sister Rebecca when God healed that cut. Ask her son if he didn't see it when it went back together and didn't bleed, didn't leave a scar, nothing on her finger that she had sliced wide open. On before they left the house for church and bleeding to beat the band, as we would say. And yet God, amen, in front of that young man's eyes, healed that finger. Amen. Now try to tell him God don't heal. Amen. What would we say? Prayer raised the dead. Hello. Amen. You're looking at one. Amen. Wasn't anything I did. It's what he did. Amen. Proved that he is the resurrection, the truth, and the life. But let me go back to this. These signs shall follow them that believe. Not they will, may, maybe will, perhaps they will. They will for a certain amount of time. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. And it was promised, well, until the seventh angel messenger came and preached the seals and preached the church ages. And when I took him off the scene. Now, this is the prophet, Brother Branham, talking to you. And he said, these signs shall follow them, and it was promised to the end of the world. Amen. Well, now, as far as I know, I'm still standing on this world. Right. Oh, he said, until the end of the world. And I want the page in Scripture where he said that he took it away from them. Right. Then he would contradict his own word. And see what a mess you'd get into? These signs shall follow them. That was a marking, a memorial, a mark to the true believers that he was in their midst. Because he's showing himself and manifesting himself by these signs. Amen. But how are you going to get those signs? You want them operating? Then you've got to be in prayer for the church. You've got to be in prayer for the pastor. You've got to be in prayer for everybody in the church that the word of God comes from this pulpit and comes over it, and it's nothing but the truth, and we all believe, and when the Spirit of God falls, you're ready to move into that Spirit. Amen. It's getting to church and sitting down and reading your Bible and get your mind on God. It's praying before you get here. It's praying after you get here. It's praying after you leave. It's praying before you go to bed. It's praying after you get up. It's praying during the day. I don't care if you're driving down the road, sitting in your favorite recliner, or if you're out mowing the grass, you can still talk to God. Sometimes I said, Lord, I'm sorry I'm out here on this mower talking to you, but I know it's loud, but I also know you can hear me anyway. See, but it's prayer. It's the one thing most people, and especially most message people, don't do enough of. And yet why? Oh, because I believe the message. So does the devil. Well, I go to church, Brother Nathan. So does the devil. Well, I pay my tithes. So does the devil. Oh, but I shout. So does the devil. I speak in tongues. So does the devil. Well, I prophesy. So does the devil. Sure got quiet. Did I lie?
No.
I did? I didn't. No, I didn't. It's absolute truth. So it doesn't matter. It's not whether you know the message or not. It's not whether you go to church or not. It's not whether you jump up and down and run and scream and holler, speak in tongues, raise the dead, heal the sick, open the blind eyes. I don't care if you do all of that. Judas did. What matters is that you know the author of the word personally. Not up here, down here. You've got to get it here, and it's got to fall down here and become a revelation to you. And if you don't have that revelation, then I'll give you an answer to get it. Pray. Amen. My kids, my boys especially, used to get so aggravated with me when they would come. They know what was the one thing every time you came to me, what did I tell you? Dad had a one-word answer, or two words, or three, was it? Pray about it. Okay. 4 times 4 is 8, too. I had the same answer. Oh, you got a problem? What is it? This is pray about it. Did you pray about it? No. Well, why not? What does he do now? Pray about it. Amen. What do you think he's going to tell his grandkids? Pray about it. What Brother Branham tell us? Pray about it. Prayer, 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 prayer. That's it. You want a revival starting Friday night? Pray about it. Seek God earnestly. Get down and go, oh God, won't you please come Friday night and bless us? Oh Lord, won't you give our church a revival? It said effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You want a revival? You want to see God move greater than he has in this church? Then go to prayer. Every one of you, pray, pray, pray. Pray for Brother Trevor when he's going to do a Sunday night Bible study. Pray for Brother Hoover when he's going to be preaching on some night. Pray for Brother Arnie back there when you hear he's going to preach. Pray for the pastor, because you never know if he's going to preach or not. Right. No, really. Pray for him. You've got to, what? What did he say? Pray ye one for the other. How many in here are sick tonight? Well, I got one. Okay. Brother Joe, walk up there and stand by Brother Steve. Brother Steve, lay your hands on him. What did the scripture say? If you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Is that right? Yes. Where did it say pray? All right. Okay, thank you. Then Brother Joe, if you know what your job is, accept your healing. Amen. That's simple. I've done that, and I've had people look at me like they were looking at a new gate. What? What do you mean they didn't pray? He didn't say, all he said was, they shall lay their hands on the sick and they shall recover. Right. I've seen it happen. In my own little ministry, I've seen it happen. When I'd call the people, I'm not even going to pray for you. They'd walk through, Brother Branham called them fast lines. He'd lay hands and say, Lord, grant them what they want. Lord, grant them what they want. Lord, give my brother his desire. Lord, give my sister what they want. Lord, he does it once in a while. There was no prayer about, oh, Lord, now won't you come down and reveal unto me what's wrong with him? Lord, won't you do this? And Lord, won't you? It was just simply, Lord, grant it to him. 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 How many people have heard, they say, oh, Brother Lady, oh, my back is hurting. Oh, I don't feel too good. And we're standing there talking. I said, oh, really? I said, man, I'm really sorry to hear that, you know. And just reach over and kind of pat him on the back. I said, I'll be praying for you. Amen. See him the next day or that night or something. You know, my back sure is feeling better. I said, well, praise God. Amen. Why? Because lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen. But let me tell you something. You want to be able to do that? You can't do it, but you want to do that and let God heal them? Then you've got to be where you belong with God. Amen. And you cannot get where you belong with God without prayer. Amen. That's what I'm trying to drive home tonight. People, we have got to go to prayer. The revival is not over. The message is not over. God saving people is not over. God adding people to the church is not over. We're still here in this world. The gifts are not over. The preaching's not over. The teaching's not over. All these things are still going on until when? Until the end. Now, if somebody else don't want to believe it, that's their problem. I believe what he said. Now let me go back to my notes. All right. On Who is Jesus, 1964. Brother Bam said, you see, when you go to praying for somebody, something goes to taking place. There is where we fail. Oh my. Friends, not praying. That's where you fail. Not praying. Prayer is the keynote. Ask and you shall receive. Let's let that sink in a little bit. Said you ask not, you have not because you ask not. And you ask not because you believe not. Ouch. Said ask in abundance. Oh my. Amen. That your joys may be full. This is Brother Branham. Ask abundance, that your joys may be full. Ask and believe that you receive what you've asked for. Then hold on to it. Don't leave it. If it's promised in the Bible, it's been revealed to you that God is going to give it to you, you hold on to it. If he's revealed to you that, Lord, if I come to you and ask anything in your name, in faith, believing, and you'll do it for me, then you hold on to that. It may come today. It may come tomorrow. It may come next week. It may come next month. It may come next year. Listen, friends, I know Sister Patty just was in the hospital, but I've got to tell you that when God healed my kidneys, he took 3 years to do it. They were 50% gone. I come up here and stood, what was it, 3 years ago we had the meetings. If I forget the brother's name and you and one of the other brothers that prayed for me, I said, I want healing and I'm going to accept my healing. I believe I'm going to get it. But it was 3 years before the doctor said, I don't want to see you no more. You're okay. Amen. Why? Because I hung on to it. Amen. Now, excuse me, I don't mean to get too plain, but every time I would go to the bathroom, I'd say, thank you, Jesus, for healing. Thank you, God, for healing. Thank you, Jesus, for healing. I don't care if it was the first thing in the morning, the last thing at night, 3 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. It was thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for healing. The same thing with that hand. It woke me up this morning hurting. What did I do? I jammed it. I was in jail. I went to see one of my relatives. And I held the door open for a woman that worked across the downtown. And she came across bringing some papers in. Well, when I pushed the door back open and started out, I didn't take my hand off the crash bar. And when I slid it down and I got to the end, I walked and went boom. And I went, oh. I said, that's going to hurt. But I walked out there saying, okay, Lord, I need your help. Well, I'm still claiming my healing. So if I shake left hands, don't be offended because some of you grip it so hard. Whew, it hurts. I tested it out with Sister Stephanie Duval tonight. And she don't have a real, no, you don't have a real hard one, but it's firm and it hurts. So I said, okay, go back to my left hand. Don't be offended, Sister Stephanie. I didn't mean to embarrass you, but and you don't have a real hard grip. It's just that my hand was at across the bones here behind the knuckles. It's really tender. But I'm just what I'm trying to say, friends, is prayer. Prayer. What happened? Sister, where'd she go? Sister Tina come in. Was it Sunday morning? I forget what it was. Sunday morning, Sunday night. Anyway, and I shook hand, left hand. And she says, what's the matter? And I told her. She says, Jackson, why don't you pray for Brother Layton's hand? He says, okay. So he took my hand and I cried. He just simple little prayer for my little buddy. Amen. So that night after service, when I talked to Brother Nathan about, or that morning, whatever it was, he grabbed the oil and I said, well, Jackson's already prayed for it. I said, but that's all right. If you want to pray for it, go ahead. Prayer. Amen. So I walked out and said, what? God, I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. I'm healed. He said, it hurt? Right. Sure it hurts. But guess what? I'm still healed. Amen. I told Sister Rebecca tonight, I'm waiting on my body to catch up with my faith. See, that's just because you don't say, oh, well, Brother Bryant, how many times did he tell us, oh, you get prayed for, oh, but I don't feel any better, Brother Bryant. Oh, I still got a headache, or oh, I still got a pain, or I still got this. It don't matter. What did Prophet John Riley do when Brother Bryant prayed for him? He come back and said, I thought you said I was healed. He said, I thought you said you believed me. He said, I do. He said, then go forth confessing your healing. He did. What was it, three weeks? Something like that. And you go, extra, read all about it. Praise God, I can see. Praise God, I'm healed. Praise God, I've got my eyesight. Sitting in that barber's chair, that little smart aleck barber in there trying to shave him and stuff, making fun of him, going down to that Pentecostal holy roller place, and God opened his eyes. Amen. Wouldn't you like to have seen him running down the street with lather on his face and that sheet around him and the barber right behind him chasing him with that razor? But he could see. See, what is it? It's hold on. Brother Ben said, don't you let go. Don't you give up. Boy, you've got to pray to do that. You want faith? Pray for it. I heard Brother Bram say, Lord, and this is the prophet of God. You know, here I listened to him last week, and he said, Lord, he said, I want perfect love. And I thought, whoa. And perfect faith. I thought, oh, my goodness. The prophet of God want perfect love? Whew. What did he have if he didn't have perfect love? I'm not going to answer that one. But I'm not your prophet, but I want perfect love. I want perfect faith. I want to be able to love my worst enemy. I want to be able to pray the prayer of faith for your children or anyone else that needs it. See, I want to be able to do that. Not for me, for him, for them. So I come to this. I don't know where this came from. Sitting out on the porch, I was telling you earlier, and on that glider, looking around and praising God for all I seen. And all of a sudden, it started talking to me about prayer. And that's where I got this from. So I went in and started making notes and writing things down and put it together and went up, preached it up to Brother Morris's. And I had my heart on my heart. I wanted to preach it here for you people. And it's not even the same message. Ask Sister Anna. Ask my daughter. Ask my wife because they were there. Ask Brother Hoover. He was there. It's not the same message. I've got one in my notes I've preached over 20 times. And my wife's heard every one of them. And she said, it's never the same. Why? Because he knows what each group needs. May have the same scriptures, may have the same comments, but when you get started and God takes over, then you say what he wants you to say. Amen. All right. El Shaddai, 1960. Oh, I love that. God's grace to his children. The power of faith, the power of prayer changes things. Oh, brother, sister, we're living in the shadows of his justice, the shadows of his coming. The same God that lived in Abraham's day is just the same God today. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And all hell can never break one of these promises. Stay with his promises. There is nothing that can ever change him. Oh, if we can only believe him, only realize that. See, what is it? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. That's a promise to us that if we will get down and really talk to God, really get, if you want to do it this way, if you really want to get desperate. Think about it. I had a time some years back when I thought my daughter was going to take off with some guy and go to California, not Cheryl, my other daughter. She's not living for the Lord yet. And we were working somewhere in Louisville, and it tore me up so bad I couldn't see her going to California, that hellhole. And I got in the bedroom and working in there and sanding and do whatever I was doing. And finally, I think I just quit and was on my knees on the floor and crying out to God. And all of a sudden, he spoke. I was really crying out to God. And he spoke and said, "She's not going." She didn't. So why? Because I got desperate. I couldn't see her going out to that place. I just didn't want her to go that far and go out into all that ill, that filth and that evil that's out there on the West Coast. And that was, what, 20-some years ago? And it's worse now than it was then. But listen, God's got a group of people that he has called out of the world, and he's called out of all organizations, and he's set them in different local assemblies to serve him. But he wants something from them. He wants them to obey him, believe his word. He wants them to pray. Yes. Have a need, pray. Yes. People, they sit back. I don't know what they expect the evangelist to pray. They expect the prophet to pray. They expect the pastor to pray. They expect the deacons to pray. Yes, we should. That's part of our duties. But at the same time, what about your duties? Think about it. Emmy's sitting right there. She's a Christian girl. She's got as much right to pray for me as the pastor does. Sure she does. Sister Rebecca back there, she's got as much right to pray for one of the other brothers or sisters as I do. What if you don't think so? Then what about the woman that was in the meetings that prayed for the woman that had the baby? Or prayed for the baby that the woman was holding. And when she finally went to the line, through the line, brother, she was healed when that woman up there prayed for it. Amen. Boy, she wanted to wait and let the prophet do it. But God didn't want it that way. He wanted her to do it. Amen. Then what about you? Yeah. Like the pastor says, don't put it all up here. Right. Sure, we've got our duties and we have to do them. We're glad to do them. We want to do them. But what about you? Prayer is the most important thing you can do. Prayer is the most powerful weapon in the world. I don't care what the world says. I don't care how much they laugh. I don't care how much they make fun of. You go before God in desperation. You go before God with an effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person, and you watch him answer. He has to answer because it's his word, and he can't lie and he can't change. Brother Branham on Unwelcome Christ said, "We fail to entertain Jesus after we have invited him into our place. Many times you're too busy at home. Your home life, you got too many things you have to do. Too many things you have to do. You can't take time to pray. You're too busy. That's what happened there." Talking about some of these other places. See, it's because we get so, listen, it's like he said before, we've got so many conveniences. We've got, our microwave oven went out, what, last week I think it was or something. Wow, I thought we were lost. No microwave oven to warm my coffee up in or to warm up some leftovers. And I love leftovers, even though some of my kids don't. I love leftovers. But I was lost, almost lost without it. No, Cheryl, not you. Is the other one. My point is this. We've got washing machines and we've got microwave ovens and we've got electronic refrigerators and we've got electronic stoves and we've got electronic this, electronic that, and electronic this. I think sometimes we need to unplug from the electronics and plug back into the Bibleonics. Amen. We need to get a hold of God. They've unplugged God and plugged in some other machine instead of prayer. They've unplugged God and plugged into something else besides reading their Bible. They've unplugged God and started doing other things instead of serving God. That, yep, oh, but yet I go to church, Brother Layton. Yep, so do I. So does the devil. All right. So we go through life wanting things. And then we ask God, well, how come you didn't give it to me? Did you ask? Some would kind of look at you like, okay, that's my answer. Did you ask him sincerely? Well, yeah, I think so. What do you mean you think so? That's like if I ask you, have you got the Holy Ghost, Brother Trevor? See? He didn't have to go, let me think about that a minute, Brother Layton. You either have it or you don't. If you got it, you know it. If you don't know if you don't know that you haven't got it or whatever, then you ain't got it. Somebody comes, well, how do you know you got the Holy Ghost? Oh, don't worry. When you get it, you'll know it. And that answer used to drive me crazy as a young preacher, too. You're trying to talk to people about something. Well, how do you know when you got the Holy Ghost? I'll tell you what, your life will show it. So will your prayer life. See, it's more than just the dress and the long hair and no makeup and no jewelry. It's more than just treating your wife right or your kids right. There is a lived life outside of the home. It's like I used to say, you can be one way in church. I'll use the example. My own mother. I wasn't raised by her. My great-grandmother raised me, but we spent a little time, in Brenda and I, and the family in Illinois. My mother turned the message down. She was going to a Trinitarian Pentecostal church, and she was embracing the message, and she took it to her pastor, and her pastor, of course, woo-hoo. Well, that took care of that. So when we were there with her, we'd go to this Pentecostal church. Remember that woman Brother Bam talked about, looked like she'd been skinned down wiener? You know, poured into the woman poured into that. Well, that's the way this pastor's wife looked, too. Anyway, the point being, my mother'd be in there. And oh, it'd be, oh, you know, oh, well, God bless you, Pastor. It's just so nice to see you. God bless you. And she'd run over there and, oh, Sister Rebecca, oh, it's so nice to see you. See, oh, sweetie, it's so good to see you. Oh, buddy, it's also, oh, sister, you know, just so sweet. And walk out into the car when we leave after church, slam the door, and start screaming and hollering and cussing at the kids. Talk about a hypocrite. And Brenda's never forgot it. And I haven't either. But what was my point? She liked to go around and said, oh, yeah, I love the Lord. I've got the Holy Ghost. Really? Where was the lived life that behind it to show that you did have it? It's more than just words, people. It's a lived life. Yes. But you're not going to have that lived life if you don't have a prayer life to back that up. Yes. You're going to get the Holy Ghost? How many of you don't? No, never mind. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. I was going to say, how many of you don't have the Holy Ghost and want it? Sometimes I do that. Well, if you ain't got it, I want somebody to tell me why you ain't got it. Right. Have you repented? Have you been baptized? Then you tell me why you haven't got it. Brother Bram said, you will get the Holy Ghost when he accepts your sacrifice. What is your sacrifice? The life that you live. Right. Justification is one. Sanctification is you cleaning up your life. That's what repentance is. Turn around and go in the other direction. When you smoked and drank and cussed and lied and stole and lusted and all these other stupid things that we did out in the world, when you got to God and wanted the Holy Ghost, what'd you have to do? Clean up that life. Yes. I stood up here one night with those three glasses and gave a lesson on justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost. And showed with the glasses like Brother Branham had illustrated and showed you what the difference was. And yet people will go to church and say, oh, well, I've repented. Oh, I've even been baptized. Then why haven't you got the Holy Ghost? Right. Have you fell on your knees in desperation? That's what the whole key of this is. An effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Whether it's the Holy Ghost, whether it's God, whether it's finding his will in your life, whether it's finding his will for your children, finding your will for your job, finding your will for everything that comes around, everything that you do, say, think, and hear should be in prayer about with God about what about this? Right. Right. I'm not saying the wife has to, well, do I fix spaghetti tonight, God, or do I fix hamburgers? No, we're not talking about that kind of stuff. We're talking about the kind of life you live. You say, well, I don't like my job. Why? You're not happy with your job? Why? Did you pray about changing or did you just change? Think about it. Oh, my youth, I've done the same thing, but I worked in construction. You could walk out of this job and walk down the street and get another one. You can't do that too much today. But you see, if you really have a good job, you better think about it before you quit it. You better pray about it before you quit it. Sure, it means a lot. The way you talk to your wife, the way you talk to your kids, the way you talk to the neighbors, the way you talk to the people in the store. Oh, some people, what they can do, I was going to use that illustration with my mother, but that's the same thing that people do around the message. Oh, they come to church, they shake the pastor's hand and the deacon's hand and your hand and this and that and the other. Oh, that's a fine brother. Oh, that's a fine sister. But they walk out and get in their car. I wonder how they talk to their wife. How do they talk to their kids? When they go home and shut the door, how do they treat them then? When they get out on the job, what kind of life are they living? If I could go to your job and say, what about that game? What about that brother? What about that sister? What about that sister? What about that brother? What do they do on the job? Are they living a Christian life on the job? I wonder how many of them say, oh, yes, fine person. Oh, my, we're so glad to have them. They're a real Christian. Or they say, well, you know, what kind of report do you get there? What if I went and asked your neighbors, what kind of person is Brother Ben? What kind of a woman is Sister Crystal? I wonder what their neighbors would say. Brother Ben might say, well, my neighbors are 5 miles away. All right, Brother Anthony, I wonder what your neighbors would say about you. Well, I don't know him well enough. He just moved in. Okay, we'll give him some time. I'll pick on Brother Jerry. I wonder what your neighbors would say about you. Oh, yeah. And Sister Dottie, I know what I see here. I know what I believe here. I believe they're real. Say, can you prove it? No. But you want to prove it? Go ask their neighbors. Go ask the people on the jobs he does. See, it's the life you live outside of the church doors. It's not what you come in here and for lack of a better word, put on. See, it means a lot. What do you do outside of these doors? If you've got a problem holding your testimony outside of these doors, then I've got the answer for you. Pray about it. Get serious about it. Get sincere about it. Get a big and effectual fervent prayer about it until you've got the victory over everything that bothers you. Amen. See, people go through this. Here's the problem I find most of the time around the message. And I've said it, I'm going to say it again. It's too much of, oh, well, I believe the message. Well, I believe the message. Well, I believe the message. I've heard that for 55 years. But I want to know, do you live the message? Amen. The devil believes it and fears and trembles. Do you? Or do you just go haphazardly along and say, oh, I can quote quotes. I've got a relative, and I'm not going to call his name. Some of you might know him. He can talk this message backwards and forwards. Yeah, he can. But if you know his life like I do and like Brenda does, time to hit the prayer books, if you want to say it that way. It's time to get serious with God. We're getting in a late hour, people. We want a revival in this church. You want to see everybody with victory, everybody healed. You want to see everybody shouting. I don't mean they have to jump up, down, and run the aisles and all that. But you know what? You can shout by clapping your hands. You can shout by raising your hands. You can shout in the spirit. But what I'm talking about is living a victorious life. You want to see everybody in this church filled with the Holy Ghost? You want to see everybody in this church victorious? You want to see everybody in this church be able to lay their hands over the other one when you know you're not feeling good? Sit there by Sister Jeannie, and she just said, oh, said, the Lord's showing you something's wrong with her. And all of a sudden, what? Sister Virgin leans up, just kind of puts her hand over on her shoulder and just says, God, my sister is hurting. Something's wrong. I don't know what it is, but oh, God, come on the scene and heal her. There it is. You say, oh, but she wasn't screaming and shouting. No. It said effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. That's a sincere, from the heart prayer. It doesn't always have to be screaming, hollering, yelling, jumping and running and all that. It's being honest with God and honest with yourself and honest with your neighbor. A real heartfelt prayer. Amen. And then you may sit there the rest of the service, and every time you look over and say, oh, Lord, just keep the healing going. Lord, just keep healing her. Lord, just keep healing her. Lord, just keep healing her. See, until and all of a sudden you see something happens. Maybe she sits a little different, or maybe she moved a little different. See, and all of a sudden something just comes over you and you realize, oh, thank you, God, you did it. But what is it? It's got to be that prayer. Pray ye one for the other. I think I've got that one. I thought I had it there. Maybe I did. Maybe I forgot to put it in. I had one. I may not be able to quote it exactly. If not, please forgive me. I'm not trying to add anything to. Brother Ben said, you want something from the Lord? Or if you need healing, pray for somebody else. That's kind of paraphrasing it. You pray for somebody else. You need healing, pray for somebody else. See? You need victory, you get down and pray for somebody else. Sure. See, it's not all about me, 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 me. That's this generation we live in. It's all about me. It's all about me. What can I get? How much can I get? How much do I need? Where else can I get some more? What about giving some of it away and say, God, I want a blessing, but I want my sister to have a blessing. God, I want a blessing, but I want my brother over there. He's going through a trial and a test. I want him to have a blessing. God, I want my healing, but I seen my sister Patty. She needs her healing. See, oh God, I need this, but brother so-and-so needs healing. Sister so-and-so needs healing. God, I need mine too, but you know what, Lord? If you'll heal them, don't worry about me. Just take care of them. Amen. See, sacrifice. Amen. You pray for them and God will heal you too. Now imagine when a trial comes up, what's the first thing the child of God has for refuge when a trial comes? The greatest weapon was ever put in the hands of mankind was prayer. And it even changes everything. It even changed the mind of God one time. That's on the thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. Now that don't mean I'm going to preach another hour. It just means I finally got hot enough to take it off. You say, well, look, I said, listen, what? These signs shall follow them that believe. Whatsoever they ask in my name, how are you going to ask it if you don't approach him? How are you going to approach him if you don't approach him fearfully and reverently and yet at the same time prayerfully? Right. Oh, you may say, oh, but I can't do that, Pastor. Why not? Are you a child of God? Well, yeah. I hear people say something, oh, I don't know if God will listen to me or not. I was talking to Brother Joseph Branham one time about a certain thing about praying for it. And he said, Brother Layton, he said, I know God answers your prayers and I know God answers my prayers. He said, so you pray and I'll pray. Amen. See, that's it. I know God answers my prayers. You've got to know he answers yours. That's the kind of faith you've got to have, that you approach God with that faith that, Lord, I'm coming to you with a problem, or I'm coming to you with my brother, or I'm coming to you with my sister, and they need your help. Oh, God, you said if I would ask it in faith, believing that you would do it. Sometimes they bring the children up here, and almost every time I can't help it. It comes to my mind. He says, suffer not the little children, but to bring them unto me. And I say, Father, the parents have brought the child to you. You said to do that. They brought it. Now, Father, in honor of your word and in my faith and according to the parents' faith, you heal the child. Yes. Yep. See, but you've got to know where you stand with God. And friends, unless you have a prayer life, you're not going to know where you stand. Don't you realize how important prayer is? Prayer is the mainstay. It's the cornerstone, if you would. It's the foundation. You didn't get the Holy Ghost by not praying. You didn't repent by not praying. You didn't come to the Lord by not praying. So if you started off with prayer, then you should be going out to meet him praying. Say, God, I love you. If it's time for me to go home, take me home, but let me go in prayer. I'm not saying you have to do that, but I hope I do. So, God, if it's my time, all right. Well, when I died in Florida, he didn't give me a chance to pray. It was just, boop, but I was gone. But that's all right, because he gave me plenty of time since then. Have I failed him? Oh, yes, many times. But I've also went back and said, Father, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. But you see, what is it? You say, well, I can't do that, Brother Lee. Why not? What hinders you? What's stopping you? Look, on Jesus, did I read that one? No, on Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, in 55, Brother Ram says, well, the scripture, I believe someplace said that the devils fear, or that the devils tremble when the weakest of saints go to their knees. What kind of a power and privilege has been given to the church of the living God? Amen. Think about it. What kind of power and privilege has been given to the living God? To the church of the living God, excuse me. When you fall to your knees in prayer and the devils tremble to the weakest of them. He said, think of it. Amen. Oh, but Brother Layton, I'm nobody. Well, I'm not either. He's the only one that's important among us. It's him. It's not me. It's him. So when you go to your knees, you may say, oh, but I don't have the faith that you have. I don't have the faith that Brother Nathan has. I don't have the faith that Brother Hoover has. I don't have the faith that Brother Arnie has. I don't have the faith that Brother Trevor has. If you got the faith of the size of a mustard seed, you can move a mountain. Amen. He said, when you get that revelation that God's going to give it to you, you hang on to it. But Brother Layton, I don't know if he's going to give it to me. Then pray until you do know. Pray about it. Pray about it. Pray about it. Pray about it. My angel shall go before thee. He said, now, along this journey, he's promised to supply everything that we have need of. Whatsoever you will ask my Father in my name, that will I do. Whatsoever things. Mark 11:24. Whatsoever things you desire. When you pray, believe you receive it, and you shall have it. Now, he gave us the strongest weapon that there is in all the world, and that's prayer. He says prayer is what changes things. The Christian doesn't realize. Now, listen, friends. The Christian doesn't realize what a force he has when he kneels on his knees before Almighty God in the name of Jesus Christ. He doesn't realize what power that is. If the people could only realize that what is given to them, given right unto them, anything that you ask will be given if you can appropriate the faith to believe it. For God's word is true. Amen. Why can't we just reach out? What is that song? Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. I've seen it sang in the... Forgive, no, don't forgive me. I'm going to tell it like I see it. I've seen it sang in this church, and yet the people sit there. Some of you just sit there and you won't even move. Some of you won't even sing it. Some of you won't raise your hands. Some of you won't rejoice. Some of you just sit there and, well, what's wrong with the people? We need a revival, God. We need something to shake them up. We need something to open their eyes. You want a revival. You want a blessing. You want your prayers answered. You want the Holy Ghost. You want sickness delivered. You want devils cast out. Pray, 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 pray. Amen. And then when you get done, pray some more. Amen. Prayer changes things, friends. It changed it for Hezekiah. But now wait a minute, Brother Leith, that was Hezekiah. What about me? I mean, you know, that was Hezekiah. What am I? Who am I? You're supposed to be a child of God. Amen. What did he tell us in Matthew? He says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, you are more valuable than many sparrows. If God will take note of a sparrow falling to the ground, if he'll take note of the hair of your head, and I've lost a bunch of mine falling out of their head, then what is he going to think about you as his child? Amen. When you come to him, oh, but Brother Layton, I don't know if I have the faith. I don't care what you think. If all you've got is a mustard seed faith, then grab a hold of that and hang on to it and go before God and ask him for what you have need of and stand there until you get it. Keep, like I said earlier, as Brother Bram said, him that knocketh, not him that knocks, but him that knocketh. Him that knocketh, him that knocketh. Keep knocking and knocking and knocking. That's not an unjust God, unjust judge you're going to. It's a just God. And you keep knocking and keep knocking and keep knocking until you get the answer from God, saints. You've got to. Because if the weakest of sinners falling to their knees makes the devil tremble, then God will hear and answer your prayers. In Romans 8, he said, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. What spirit? It sure ain't the evil spirit, I can guarantee you that. It's not the devil. It's the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities. Amen. For we know not what we should pray as we ought. Have you ever done that? You just kneel down, you go to pray, and you go, God, I just don't know what to say. Oh, God, help me. Amen. I've done it. Why? Because we don't know what, just something inside, but he knows. Amen. He knows. He knows the groanings and the moanings of the heart. He knows the secret thoughts and the intents of the heart. He knows everything. He knew it back before he made one speck of dust. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Oh, my, and say, oh, but I don't know if I can do that. Well, sure you can. You're a child of God. What did Paul tell us in Thessalonians? That pray without ceasing. Now listen, friend, you gotta have a spiritual mind on this stuff. You cannot, it's humanly impossible for any man to walk around and pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can't. You've got to sleep. You've got to eat. You've got other things to do. But praying without ceasing doesn't mean it that way. It means you pray today and you pray later and you pray later and you pray later and you pray later. You pray today, you pray tomorrow, you pray next week, you pray next month, you pray next year. Pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. Not praying 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I remember when we had the singing going on out at the 4-H Club some years back. And one fellow come through there, wanted to be a holy man, I guess, Brother Brian, because he come through there like this all day long. He'd walk around. You know, and all day long making a show. He's walking all over there. And all the saints that's up there wanting to sing. And this fellow's walking around with his hand. That hand get tired, he'd put this one up. And he'd walk around like that all day long, all day long, all day long. I thought, what does that prove? Right. It's a show. The same man wanted to tell me that the song, "Oh, I Keep Falling in Love with Him," over and over. He said, that's wrong. I said, what do you mean it's wrong? He said, you can't keep falling in love with Jesus. If you ever fall in love with him once, he said, you can't do it again. I said, where did you get that? He said, oh, sister so-and-so, that's where you made your first mistake. He looked at me and said, what do you mean? I said, you're listening to a woman telling you something that's against the word. No disrespect to my sisters. But anybody that's foolish enough to say, well, if you ever fell in love. I fell in love with my wife 55 years ago and I still fall in love with her. Well, God is more important than her. If I can fall in love with him once, I can fall in love with him again and again and again. That's like the old Pentecost said, well, if you ever get the Holy Ghost, you'll never need it again. Oh, really? Maybe they should go hear what Brother Ram taught about that. There's one filling and many refillings. Oh, rebaptize me, Lord. Just pour it in there, press it down, fill it up, and run it over. What did he say in 1 Timothy? He says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. He said, well, isn't that what that guy was doing? Well, now, if you're doing it for a big show, then it's not holy, is it? In Ephesians, he said, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. In Philippians, he said, be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Oh, yeah. When you pray, don't forget to thank God for all them good things, too. Amen. Remember, it's not I. It's, oh, God, thank you. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for a revelation of your word. Thank you for a good church to go to. Thank you for good people to sit in fellowship with. Thank you for those of like faith. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for the healing. And then when you turn right around and say, now, Lord, I'm still wanting my children to come in. Thank you for saving them too. Why? Because they were promised to you. Amen. This is what? This promise is unto you and unto your children and to them that is far off, as many as our Lord God shall call. I remember a time sitting in my kitchen with Brother Billy Paul and Daryl and Paul sitting there with us, and we was talking about the Holy Ghost and how the promise was, and Billy Paul was on that, and I looked over at him and I made a mistake because it was one of my weak moments, and I said, and both them boys stand, one sitting and one standing, Paul always stands, doesn't he, Daryl? You can't hardly get him to sit down. But anyway, I said, well, Brother Billy, I know what it says, but I said, I just don't see how. I just don't see how it's possible. And they both heard me. Well, 20 minutes later, Brother Billy straightened me out. He went into a 20-minute talk about what Daddy said, you know, about what the Scripture said. Well, he straightened me out. But you see the fruits? He came. My son Paul, he came. So I've got one more. Cheryl came. I've got one more. The girl, she'll come.
But say, what is it? Be careful for nothing but everything. Prayer and supplication, give with thanksgiving. Let your prayer request be made known to God. So I said, let your request be known, but in prayer and supplication, but then don't forget to thank Him for what He has done. I thank Him for what He has done. I thank Him for what He's going to do. God, thank You for saving my daughter's soul. Sure. Because He promised, and the Word of God is true, and He can't fail. And you may say, oh, I don't know, Brother Lee. I don't know. But you know what? You are more important than the sparrow was. Abraham prayed, and God held judgment on Sodom. What? Until Lot got out. And Lot was the type of the foolish virgin. But God honored His servant's prayer. Elijah prayed, and fire fell and consumed the altars and the false prophets. Jesus prayed and Lazarus was raised from the dead. Peter prayed and Dorcas, which is Tabitha, was brought back to life. The thief on the cross prayed and was saved. Elijah prayed and it rained not for 3.5 years. He prayed again and it rained. You say, oh, but those were dope. But what about me? Well, what about you? That's the question I keep coming back to you. I want you to look at yourself tonight and tell within your own self. Don't tell me. Tell yourself and tell Him, who are you? I don't know about you, but I'm a child of the King. Amen. I went to Calvary and had a blood transfusion. Amen. That don't make me anybody special. It just makes me your brother, and it makes me His son. Amen. But I believe His word, and His word said, pray, 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 pray. And it doesn't mean you have to pray where everybody can see you. Sometimes I'll go sit on the back porch. Sometimes I'll go to the bedroom and close the door. Other times I'll go to the bedroom, go into the master bathroom and close that door and pray. Sometimes I'll get in the car and pray. Then I'll get in the run lawnmower and pray. I'll get in my car and I'm driving to church and I'm praying. Come on. See, it's praying, 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 praying. I'll be walking through Walmart, and believe me, I pray when I go through Walmart. I go to Lowe's and I pray. I go to Menards and I pray. Why? Because I want to talk to my Lord. I may not be able to do it as much as I want to, but I pray and I pray and I pray. And people, this is what I'm saying. You want a revival to break out in this little church over here on Silver Street, then you people have got to start praying. You've got to go before God earnestly and sincerely and fervently and fervently and everything else, and actually say, God, bring a revival, because we don't need 500 more people in this church. What we need is the ones that are here filled with the Holy Ghost and serving You, from the youngest one that can receive it to the oldest one. Amen. That's what we need. And if that's what it takes tonight to burn your hides and to get you to praying, then let Brother Jack come in, and maybe the Lord will use him to build that fire and get that bellows, and just that gospel bellows, and pump that air on that fire and blow that thing, get it good and good and going, 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 and good and hot. See, that's what I want. I want the Holy Ghost for every one of you sitting here. I want every one of you saved. I don't want to see a one of you not go in the rapture. I don't want to see a one of you lost. A few musicians will come. Listen, friends. One thing I found out for sure. In a time of sickness, you'll pray. When sickness strikes and the doctor says there's nothing else I can do, amen. Don't let the pressure build up. Don't become afraid. Don't get scared. Pray. That's the answer to all of it. Pray. You want to let the pressure off? Pray. Don't worry about what the doctor says. In the darkest of hours, Brother Branham taught us, in the darkest of hours, reach out and touch the Lord. In the darkest of hours, pray. Think about it. Pray. That's the answer tonight. That's not only the sermon, that's the answer to every one of your problems. It's prayer, 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 prayer. Prayer. You say, Brother Lynn, I'm getting tired of hearing you say that. Good. Then go to praying and praying and praying and praying and praying, and maybe I won't have to do it again. He is Hebrews 13:8. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to challenge you tonight. I'm going to challenge every one of you tonight to believe what I've said tonight. And to take it to heart and go to prayer.
not just here, in your car, in your home, at your job. You don't have to pray out loud if you're sitting there at your desk or whatever it is you're doing. You don't have to do that if you don't want to or if you can't. But you can sure pray from here, and He already knows it. If He knows the thoughts and the secret intents of the heart, then He knows what you're praying. I challenge you tonight to get a prayer life. You say, "Oh, but Brother Layton, it's so hard." Then let me make you another challenge. Give me 5 minutes tomorrow morning. No, excuse me. Give Him 5 minutes. Give the Lord 5 minutes in prayer when you wake up. Do that for a week. Then the next week, make it 10. Then the next week, make it 20. If you get lost in prayer and all of a sudden you look, I was praying the other day and I thought, "Oh, I've been here about 5 minutes." I looked up the clock and I've been there 45 minutes. I'm not bragging. I was so lost in the prayer for the people I was praying for. 45 minutes by went by and I thought I'd been praying 5 minutes. Now that don't happen every time. Sometimes I pray for 5 minutes and I feel like I've been there for 5 hours. And I look up and say, "Is that all? What happened?" I didn't get in the spirit of it. My fault. But I'm challenging you tonight to get yourself a prayer life. You want to see something move? You think we've had miracles in this church so far? What do you think this church would do if we all had a prayer life like we're supposed to have? What do you think God would do in this church? What do you think He would do for everyone sitting here? There should not be a sick person in this church tonight. There shouldn't be a sick person spiritually in this church tonight. There shouldn't be a sinner sitting here tonight. There shouldn't be one without the Holy Ghost sitting here tonight. With all the miracles and the signs and the wonders we've seen in the Church of the Open Door, we should have a church full of Holy Ghost filled people. But we've got people that are too lazy to pray. People that are too stubborn to pray. People that don't want to do it. They're too busy doing everything else and they don't have time to sit down and give God 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Oh, but they want the preacher to bring a great sermon. How do you think he gets them great sermons? It's not running down to Walmart, I can tell you that. How do you think Brother Trevor is able to teach like he does? I'm sure his wife would love to have some time, extra time with him now and then, but he's got to study. He's got to pray. He's got to seek God. The same with Brother Hoover. The same with Brother Arnie. The same with myself. There's times when you just got to pull away and get down there and get serious with God. Say, "Lord, I need your help. These people are needing something. What do you have for them? What can I bring for them?" So tonight it falls on you. I've delivered my heart. It's up to you now. It's up to you to pray. What are you going to do? You can't go to God and say, "Oh, nobody ever told me about the importance of prayer." Well, Brother Branham did. Maybe you didn't hear what I've heard. But if you didn't, you heard it tonight. If you haven't got the Holy Ghost and you want it, there's only one way you're going to get it. That's fall on your face before the living God. Make sure everything is out of your life and seek Him and stay there until He gets it. Or be like the guy that the feller took out there in the pig pen and the hog wallet and said, "Where am I going to get it?" He said, "Right here." The feller went out in the cornfield and sat there, I think it was, knelt down and said, "God, I want the Holy Ghost and I'm going to stay here until you give it to me. And if you don't give it to me, you're going to find my bones here, Brother Furman, when you come back." That's desperation. That's oneness. That's what you've got to do, people. Amen. You want a revival? Get desperate before God, for not for yourself, for the rest of the people. For those that don't have the Holy Ghost, those that need the Holy Ghost, for those that need a refilling, for those that need healing, you can do it. You can do it. Amen. Don't put it all on Bill Layton. Don't put it all on Nathan Bryan or David Hoover or Arnie. Brother Arnie Bird or Brother Trevor Eamon, put it up on God. You take the cross and put it on your own shoulders. You carry your cross, and part of your cross is what? To pray. Then you can have the victory. Then you can smile. Then you can sing. Then you can clap. Then you can jump up and down if you want to. Then you can speak in tongues. I don't care if you run the aisles every service, but I don't care if you jump up and down every service. Like Brother Branham said, don't jump any higher than you live. And you can't live high if you don't pray deep. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, if I spoke in the wrong manner, forgive me, Lord. I'm not trying to offend anyone.
just trying to drive the point home, Lord. Oh, God, I just want to see this church so full of the Holy Ghost. Everyone, Lord, from the young to the old. I want to see him serving you an example before this city and before Clarksville and Jeffersonville and Charlestown and Louisville. God, not that we'd be anybody special, but we're your children, and you made us special. We're sinners saved by grace. Oh, Lord, may this rough message that I brought tonight, may it go into the hearts. May it cut deep. Lord, may it be taken right down inside that cut and that cut healed with prayer. Lord, may they realize that it's so important to have a prayer life, to pray, 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 pray. Oh, God, grant it to your children tonight that they will wake up. We want a revival for this little church. We want the Spirit of God moving not just once in a while, but in every meeting, Lord. But we can't have that if we aren't prayed up and read up and ready to go up. God, just move upon all of us. Move upon me. Move upon the pastor. Move upon the other ministers, that we will be examples and we will be praying, Lord, before we get here, after we leave here, while we're here. Oh, God, that we'll just seek your perfect will in everything. Lord, just deal with your children tonight. May you get the glory from this message that I, Lord, if I've made any mistakes, forgive me. But may you get the glory, Lord, and may your people realize the importance that they've got to pray. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Oh, reach out and touch the Lord. Come tonight and pray. He'll give it to you. Are you sick? Are you hurt? Come tonight. Pray. He'll heal it. He's passing by tonight. All you have to do is reach out and take him. All you have to do is reach out and touch him. Be like the little woman was in the crowd. Just stick your hand out there and touch the hem of his garment. He'll feel it. He's moved by the feelings and your infirmities. Tell him about it tonight. Don't sit like a bump on the log. Don't sit there and think, well, maybe tomorrow night, or maybe Friday night, or maybe Saturday night, or maybe Sunday morning. What about tonight? You have no guarantee of tomorrow. Oh, I know some of us young people, we think, oh, we got a long time. No, you don't. I've outlived many of teenagers already. I wonder how many teenagers got up and went out of the house this morning or going their way to work or wherever they were going and they didn't get home. I wonder how many were shot, how many were run over, how many OD'd. See, there is no guarantee unless you have Christ, and then you guaranteed eternal life. So reach out tonight, people, old people, young people, middle age. Don't sit there and just say, well, I'll wait, Brother Layton, and I'll do it later. You may not have later. If you're not 100% sure tonight, then get 100% sure. You'll have no excuse. So reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You will find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment. Your needs to
touch the Lord, you will find He's not too busy. He can hear your heart's cry. He is wise by this moment. Your needs He supplies. Just reach out and touch the Lord as He goes by. Teach me, Lord, to wait down on my knees till in Your to me, but I long
me closer.
My life, Lord, I need more.
me your love, and this old world can have the rest. Lord, I could never get enough of your grace, your peace, your warmth and your love. I've got to have more. Lord, I need more. Yes, I need more. Thank you, Lord. In me. This is how we get revival. We need more of you on my school, at my church, at my home, Lord. Oh, that's the way it's got to be. Lord, I need more of you. Take out all of me, Lord, till there's no room left in me. From the start to the finish, I need more. Oh Lord, we need more. I've got to have more of you in me. Just as I am with that one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come. Just as I am now.
let your word be born in the manger of my heart. Lord, let it live in me. Lord, let it start and live inside this house of clay and mold it every day. Oh, let your word be born in the manger.
Why don't we stand and sing it together tonight? Sing it to him tonight. To keep his word. Oh, what a mighty God I know he is. Oh, all of heaven and earth, we adore him. His little time together tonight. they play that softly tonight. Amen. It's been good to be in church, hasn't it? Brother Bram said, you want a blessing, be a blessing. He said, every one of you has a right to baptize. Every one of you has a right to pray for the sick. He said, when that perfect love hit him there and that killer bull stopped in its tracks, he said, oh, how I wish it would happen all the time, to be able to have that perfect love like that all the time. He said about Donovan Wirtz, he said, I didn't pray for him. I just put my hand on his ear. And he said, within about 24 hours, the cancer was gone. He said, it would have ate into his skull and he would have died. But what was it? He said, it was the quickening power. The quickening power. Amen. I believe the Holy Ghost gives us quickening power. Why don't you lay your hand over on somebody beside you in the service tonight? Let's just have a word of prayer together. Lord Jesus, we still believe in the quickening power. Lord, we still believe that you're saving and that you're healing and that you're filling with the Holy Ghost. Lord, we thank you for this presence that we feel here tonight. Lord, we thank you for those that came to the altar, Lord. We thank you for those that came and stood in faith for prayer for their bodies, Lord. We thank you for the word that went forth, Lord, to encourage us to pray. Lord, when we look back through history, every revival that ever started was because somebody started praying. Somebody started getting desperate before God. And before you know it, revival began to break loose in their life and in their family and in their home and in their church and in their community. Lord God, may you pour out revival again in New Albany, Indiana, and Jeffersonville and Louisville and all around us, Lord. Sellersburg, Charleston, wherever it would be. Lord, may the body of Jesus Christ, Lord, may we lay down our differences and our doctrinal opinions, Lord Jesus, and may revival sweep through the entire world, Lord. May the bride of Jesus Christ be united in a worldwide revival, Lord, around your word and around you, Lord Jesus. Lord, may you start it tonight, Lord, in humble hearts that are seeking you and praying for a move in their life and a move in their home and a move in, Lord, their families and their church, Lord Jesus. Lord, may you send revival. Pour it out like the rain upon us, Lord Jesus. We love you, Lord. We want to see a stirring in our midst, Lord, not to stir our flesh or stir our emotions, Lord, but to stir us up to serve you, to serve us, stir us up, Lord, to live for you, to walk in the life that we've seen in this age, Lord, to walk in the light that you've shown for us. Lord, help us, Lord, not to bring a reproach on it, but Lord, may we let our light shine before men. May we be billboards that others could see Christ living in us, Father. Lord, may we live a life worthy of the gospel that others could look and see the Jesus Christ that changes lives and heals the sick. Lord, that restores us from sinners that we used to be into sons and daughters of God. Lord, move on the scene in our midst again, we pray tonight, Father. Lord, may believers go out of here, Lord, not with revival just here in these four walls, Lord, but in their hearts. May they go home stirred with the unction of the Holy Spirit to live that daily life of prayer and of servitude to you, Lord Jesus, as humble servants to lay down our lives before you and do what you would have us to do and say what you would have us to say, Lord. Give us love in our hearts to recognize that the blanket stretches a little further over somebody else that maybe doesn't see it just exactly like we do. But Lord, you came and you died to save them too, Father. May our hearts go out to them. May we not turn a cold shoulder to somebody that would disagree with us or say something evil against us, Lord. But may we project love and sovereign grace to them the way that you did, Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Thank you for it, Lord, tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Why don't we sing that again? God bless you. You can be dismissed as we go. Amen. We won't sing this song, but as we go, take the name of Jesus with you. Take him in your heart. Take him in your life. Take him in your decisions. Everywhere you go, take him with you. He's worthy of it.
Oh, what a mighty God my Jesus is.
Amen. God bless you. Let's sing it as we go.
Oh, what a mighty God my Jesus is. Oh, what a mighty God.
before him. What a mighty God my Jesus is. Oh, what a mighty God my Jesus is.
without reluctance. Flesh and blood, his substance, he took the form of man, revealed his hidden plan. Oh, of Calvary, and now I know thou art the great I am. Oh, how I love him, how I adore him. Moment each day.
that I can do. if you'll just help my weakness. I know that I'm unworthy, Lord, of thee. My eyes of faith, I see thee upon the cross of Calvary. Dear Lord, I cry, let me thy servant be. And we pray, Jesus, use me, Lord. Oh, Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do. Great, I'll work.